Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
All right, good morning to everybody out there. This is the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue. Thank you guys for tuning in. It's been a minute. It's been a while, and here we are, January 4th, the year of our Lord, 2025. Can you guys believe that? 2025. I mean, the year 2020 sounded weird. Obviously, we know what happened after that. I actually saw a meme that made me laugh. It had like 2019, what it looked like, the new year. Everybody was happy. Everybody's looking good. And then from 2020 to 2024, it was just black. It was blank. It's like, oh my gosh. It's like pre-COVID, post-COVID. Our lives and our timelines are kind of screwed up still from that. But here we are, a new year, 2025. It doesn't seem real. I think there'd be flying cars by now, and the future would be here. Well, I mean, I guess AI's here. AI's changing the face of the world. But anyway, all that to say, Happy New Year to everybody out there. It's been a couple weeks. I took 2 weeks off during Christmas break. But I am excited to talk to you guys about high school sports, a little bit about Fresno State. We get into Fresno State stuff here every once in a while. But for the next 2 hours, every Saturday, we're going to be talking about local sports. And I love to do it. I had a good Christmas break. I'm a teacher. I had the old 3 weeks off. It wasn't my break wasn't aligned with Clovis and Fresno Unified. We got out a week earlier. So I got to go back on Monday. So I've had those anxiety dreams already of not being really prepared to go back mentally and physically in the classroom. But, hey, Monday's going to be here before we know it. Like I said, my Christmas break was good, recharged, took some time off, obviously hanging out with the family. I have three daughters. One of them is married. So she did the old, you know, Christmas with our family, Christmas with her new family. Spent some really nice time with my other two daughters who are still living at home, played board games, did all that stuff that, you know, who knows, in a few years might be a little more difficult. So if you got young ones at home, this Christmas time, I know it's busy. I know you spend a lot of money, but it's absolutely worth it. And when you look back, you're like, man, I miss those times. Yeah, I miss those times when the girls would come out in their pajamas and open up stockings and all that fun stuff. But anyway, I hope you guys had a good break. If you did have one, I'm sure you got some time off, right? Everyone needs a little time off, New Year's, Christmas. But ready to get after it. There was a lot of action that happened during Christmas break, obviously basketball and soccer. And there's wrestling. Before I forget, the Doc B Wrestling Invitational, that's a huge deal. It's a national-level tournament at Buchanan. It's going on. Teams from Pennsylvania and Nevada and just all over the United States. So that is a huge deal. Don't want to forget to mention that. You know, get lost in that talking about basketball. But, yes, wrestling is obviously a huge deal in the Central Valley, especially in Clovis Unified. So Doc B is going on. You guys should check that out if you get a chance. I got to mention Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating. The weather report right now, what are we looking at? 48 degrees, sunshine for the next few hours. High of 58, it's going to be a little bit cloudy, but yesterday that rain snuck up on us a little bit, at least on me. And that wasn't just a little trickle. That was a decent rain. It was a decent rainfall, but no rain in the forecast for the next 7 to 10 days, at least according to my iPhone app. So decent weather, right? Feels good out there when that sunshine is out there. It feels really, really nice. I do want to mention this because I had a fun experience talking about spending time with my family, which was awesome. But I got to do something I have never done before. I've been to NBA games, obviously college football games, college basketball games, Major League Baseball games, but I've never been to an NHL game. And 1430, 790 ESPN, a local affiliate here, we have the Sharks, carry the Sharks games. And so I had the opportunity to get some tickets on Thursday. Me and some friends did the day trip. It was a 7:30 start, and it was a lot of fun. If you never checked out an NHL game, It is a lot of fun. You are right on top of the action. What really surprised me and another guy who's never been to an NHL game before was just how raw the action was. You can hear everything. There's no artificial music piped in. You hear every stick on the ice. You hear every slap shot. You hear every, you know, hit against the board, against the glass. I was really impressed by that. A little bit of cold, right? You got to wear your sweatshirts in there. But I was happy with that, man. That was really, really cool. Also, what I liked, the guys just played hockey. They just played hockey. There's no right? It was 2-1. Sharks won, intense game. But there's no celebrating. There's no pounding your chest after you make goals, right? It's all kind of all business out there. And that was pretty refreshing. The guys played hard. Tons of line changes. That was fun to see because, you know, when you watch hockey on TV, just kind of follow the puck. But those line changes were fun to watch. I still don't truly understand the strategy behind all of that. But anyway, NHL hockey, thanks to 1430 for providing those tickets. That was a ton of fun. All right, so what do we got going on the show? Obviously, I'm going to talk about what's going on with high school sports right now. I'm going to get into some rankings in just a second. There's a couple standout performances that I want to mention. But I love guests. I love talking to coaches, media members, student athletes. And I got a good one. Got a good one for the first hour. Cam Lamanuzzi is coming on the show. He's actually here right now. And he's going to be sharing his story, sharing what he does for the Fresno State football team. He is the team chaplain. He played there. He played at Bullard High School. Really good linebacker. I remember watching him back in the day, and his little brother as well. You still call him little brother, little Coda. And yeah, Cam, you know, I've run into him a few times over the last couple years at random places. I see him at Cup of Joy, talking with the Fresno State football player. Bibles are open because that's what he does. He is a chaplain. He does an amazing job. He's got a great story. So be chatting about what's it like to be a student athlete these days, right, especially with NIL, which is all these different distractions, right, that are going on with student athletes today at the college level. We're going to get a little insight from Cam on that. Again, his great story that I'm excited for him to share with all of you. At the top of the hour, we'll be switching to basketball. We got Tim Admonson, the Bullard head boys basketball coach. Love having Tim on the show. Known Tim for a long time, went to college with him. Obviously, the last name goes a long way. He's a legend around here, along with his brother Tony. His Bullard Knights are currently 10-7 right now. They made a nice run last year in the state playoffs. Always great to catch up with Tim. So he's going to be at the top of hour number two, right around 11:05. At the bottom of the hour, John Penberthy, head boys basketball coach at Fresno Christian, is coming on. You know, Penberthy, bro, just like the Admonsons, right? The Penberthys are royalty in the basketball world around here in the Central Section. Brother Mike obviously played with the NBA. He is talking about Mike. If you ask Shaq who one of his favorite players of all time playing with was and the best shooter, he'll say Mike Penberthy. No joke. So John is a Hoover grad doing a great job at Fresno Christian. They got a really good basketball team. We're going to actually be broadcasting their game on Tuesday. Kingsburg is coming up to Fresno. So we're going to be broadcasting Kingsburg at Fresno Christian Tuesday, pregame at 7:15, tip-off at 7:30. So really excited to talk to John about the program, maybe a story about Mike, and yeah, excited to broadcast their game. All right, speaking of legends in basketball, you know, I love to highlight players, standout performances. And there's a kid from Kerman that is tearing it up right now. Daniel Bibioff, who's on the show last year. Kerman, they won the Central Section title. He was named Cal High Sports Player of the Week after scoring 51 points. This was a few weeks ago against Fireball. A 51-point performance. Huge performance. Got hurt in the next game against Madera. Only scored 2 points. But then after Christmas, how about this? Lions played in a tournament. He scored 47, 32, 47, and 35 points in the tournament. His average on the season is right at 35, even with that two-point performance against Madera. Pretty incredible. So Bibioff for Kerman, having a monster season so far. Lions are 7-7, but they're going to be dangerous come playoff time. Speaking of playoffs, Actually, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. I have the Max Preps rankings in front of me. And I just want to share because we're already about to enter league. So the Christmas tournaments are done with. They're over. Coaches now have a good sense of where their teams are at the basketball season, right? So it's now the time to start playing, you know, really good basketball, right? Figure some things out, get those rotations set, make some adjustments. So the rankings, according to Max Preps, now some of these records are going to be a little bit off because these rankings come out on Tuesday. Some teams played some games after that. So St. Joseph, we've talked about them. They are number one in the Central Section. They do have one loss. I think it was the number 17 team in the nation that they lost to in a national tournament that they played in. Guys, if you want to see St. Joseph up close and personal, they're coming to play Clovis West on Wednesday. 6 o'clock game, so a little early. I'm sure it's going to be a day trip for them. That's why they early start. So 6 o'clock, St. Joseph coming to Clovis West Wednesday night. All right, you guys are going to need to check that out. I'm going to be at the Fresno Pacific men's basketball game. I'm going to be broadcasting that along with Scott Bemis on 790. But if you want, go check out that game. All right, go see Tunde Yesufu, who's headed to Baylor. They're the number one team. Everybody knows that. There's not really a debate right now. Clovis North sitting at number two, having a really good season, 13-4. Buchanan, we mentioned those guys before the break. Buchanan is 16-2 on the season. They lost to Modesto Christian in the championship game of the Modesto Christian tournament. Yes, those Buchanan Bears. Tom Orlich took over the program last year. Legendary Clovis West coach went on to assist at Stanford. He's doing an amazing job. Connor Sheets, that guy is a dude. I haven't seen him play this year. Watched him play last year. Shooting guard. He's pumping in tons of points this year. They're playing great defense. So the Bears are number three, believe it or not, according to Max Preps. They're San Joaquin Memorial at number four. I think they're 14-3 now. I could be wrong on that. It says 12-3 here on Max Preps. Clovis East, really good team. Coach Wiggins doing a great job there at number five at 11-3. Mission Prep San Luis Obispo is six. San Luis Obispo at seven. Central, yeah, the Grizzlies. Will Hooker, 12-5 on the season. So the Grizzlies making some noise. We'll see how they do when track begins. Sanger at number nine. And there's Bullard at number 10. Again, Tim Adamson is coming on the show around 11 o'clock. And Tulare Union, I want to highlight them really quick. 16-2 on the season. Their strength of schedule isn't great, but they got a really strong and athletic team down there in the South Valley. I might as well mention Fresno Christian as well. They are number 12 at 10-4. We got John Penberthy coming on. And I do want to mention, too, lastly, before we move on to the girls' rankings, Clovis West, they're 6-10, right? Clovis West with 10 losses. They've played a strong, strong schedule, third hardest schedule in the Central Section. So that's going to be a really, really good measuring stick on Wednesday when St. Joseph comes to town. All right, so let's move on to the girls. You guys know who the number one team in the Central Section is in the girls'. In the girls' portion, it's Clovis West. These girls have started off the season 17-0. They're playing in a championship game in Denver, Colorado, today at 1 o'clock. 17-0. And you know the rich history of Clovis West girls' basketball. You know the state title, 2017, number one national ranking. But this is the first time that they've started the year 17-0. Ever. Under Coach Craig Campbell. Pretty darn amazing. Alexis Swillis, 6'3", headed to UNLV. She got MVP in a tournament. Yeah, they're knocking off like number two teams from Pennsylvania, number one team from Nevada. So who's gonna challenge those teams? Well, Clovis West. Clovis, they got a really strong team. Cooper Steele's doing a great job there, 13-3 on the year. And there's Central Grizzlies at number three at 12-2. Carruthers, number four at 9-3. St. Joseph, The girls team is 9-4 as well. Menachie has a strong team. San Joaquin Memorial at 7. Rio Grande at 8. Tehachapi at 9. And what do you got? Sierra Pacific at number 10. Some really good girls teams. So there's kind of a snapshot of the girls' rankings. All right, one more thing before we take a break and bring on Cam Lamanuzzi. Football news. McKay Madsen. If you're familiar with football in the Central Section, you obviously know that last name. Dad Josh was a standout at Clovis West, played at Stanford. But McKay, the son, he's a senior at Clovis North, double winner last year's CIF state track and field event in the discus and the shot put. He got named to the Navy All-American Bowl. It's going to be played next Saturday at the Alamo Dome in San Antonio, Texas. The game time is 10 o'clock, so that game's going to be going on right when my show's going on. So you could watch the game and then listen to my show. Perfect combination. It's going to be played on NBC. The top 100 players in the nation are invited to this, and McKay is one of them. Also at that game, I've heard that he's going to announce where he's going to college at that game. So he's going to bring some hats. So I don't know if it's going to be telecasted live or they're going to show it later. But, yeah, McKay's going to announce where he's going to college at the Navy All-American Bowl. Cool deal. My money's on Oregon, right? Despite their loss last week, blown away by the facilities at Oregon was he and his family. And just incredible. So my pick is Oregon for McKay Madsen. All right, a couple names here. Who are some Central Valley football guys that have played in this game? All right, so McKay made it this year. Xavier Worthy, NFL guy, 2021 with Central. Jalen McMillan, NFL guy, San Joaquin Memorial. Kendall Milton, NFL guy, right? Practice squad, got some run for the Cincinnati Bengals this year from Buchanan. Jalen Johnson from Central Chicago Bears, big contract. And Caleb Kelly from Clovis West. Those are some guys that have played in that within the last, what? Caleb was 2016. So congrats to McKay. Great kid. Can't wait to see where he's going to end up. All right. Enough of me. We're going to take a break here. Cam Lemonuzzi is here. We're going to have him on for two segments. That's how much I want you guys to hear from Cam. So when you guys return to listen to the Central Valley Sports Report, Cam's going to be in here. I'm going to be talking about Fresno State football, his story, high school football, all kinds of good stuff. You're listening to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. You say yes, I say no. You say stop, I say go. All right, welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report. I am your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon. You guys know where it is, right? On the east side of Blackstone. I do my show from the Letterman's Jacket Room off to the right-hand side. No other place where I'd rather do my show, right? It's a great environment, right? Surrounded by Letterman's Jackets from Hoover. We're going to have Hoover grad John Pemberthy on the show later, and Tim Abinson, who coached at Hoover, Selma, Central, Kalinga, Woodlake. They share the same color scheme. There's Kerman, right? Liberty, Madera behind us, Clovis North, Clovis High, some of the big boys. Will you see Bullard there, Cam?
Yeah, Bullard's right
you
there.
You mentioned when you came here, you still got yours, right?
Yeah.
Is it hanging in the closet?
It is in the closet. It is. It's toward the back because I don't wear it very much. I haven't had a reason to wear it for a while.
Well, you're not that far removed from playing. When did you graduate up from Bullard?
2017.
All right, 17. So you still fit in it, right? It's not like it's all
And I got
shrinking.
It oversized. I got it a double XL at the time. So right, it looked like my boyfriend's Letterman when I was in high school.
Like the sleeves are coming off your hands or what? You can't eat your lunch. You're just trying to shove it in your mouth. So you have a bunch of like all leak patches and all that good stuff.
Yeah,
on it.
Yeah, I got a couple. Didn't get an all valley patch.
What's up with that?
I know. I thought it was rigged.
Did you make like the Fresno Bee used to have their all valley? You didn't make it?
No.
All right. Well, if I was in charge of that back then, I would have given you all valley. That's for
I sent my emails, so they got that.
You made a case. A-Rax made a case for you.
Yeah.
All right. If you guys haven't heard, we got Cam Lemonuzzi on the show. He played at Bullard, played at City, played at Fresno State. Now he works for FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and is the team chaplain at Fresno State. So he's got a great story to tell you and provide a little bit of insight with student athletes, where they're at today, especially at Fresno State, right? Lots of things going on in a college athlete's mind, right? Tons of things, tons of distractions, you could call them, but what's it like to be a student athlete? So Cam's going to provide some insight. So Cam, I got to ask you, like, how was Christmas time? I mentioned, you know, my daughters are getting older, so the landscape's changed a little bit. But what's your Christmas look like? Because you've been married a year and a half.
Yeah.
Right? So you got some traditions or, you know, you go see different families or what's that look like now?
Yeah, Christmas was great. It was a challenge this year just because – football season is so busy.
Yeah.
And then we had a later bowl game than we normally do. Usually we play our bowl game like mid, like December 15th, 16th, 17th, but we played on the 23rd. And I was just like, okay, once we get to Christmas time, I can rest. And then we landed back from Boise, and I woke up on the Christmas Eve sick, like badly sick. So I'm recovered now, but it was most of my Christmas was spent fighting that the whole time, which wasn't super restful. But usually we go to Lauren's family's in the morning, and then we go to my family's right after, and you know, spend the day there, and then we go to a family friend's on Christmas night.
On Christmas night.
And spend some time over there as well. So, yeah, it was good. We had a good time in spite of being sick.
Maybe it was that Boise turf, right, that made you sick.
It did make me sick. I hated being on it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
it's disorienting.
You don't know where you are, yeah. Right? You're like, yeah, your depth perception is a little bit off. Yeah, we'll blame it on that Boise turf.
Right.
Right. So did you get – like, do you double dip with presents? Like, is that how that worked when you went to two different Christmases? Are you just like loading up, or are you just kind of like past all that? Like, man, I'm an adult now. I don't need a lot of stuff. Where are you at with that?
Yeah. Yeah. My parents love to gift give.
All right.
That's their thing. So they were always, trying to do a great job with that. even this year we were like, hey, we don't want as many gifts, but my mom still went shopping, got some gifts for us, so that was nice. But yeah, we are getting older. I feel like once we have kids, that's when it's going to become official that you're past the stage. All your gifts are going to your kids now, which I'm good with. So.
That's the way it should be,
right?
And you're going to love it. You and your wife, when you have children, you're going to love that. You know, picking out stuff. You'll probably be buying stuff, you know, in August for Christmas for your kids. In December, right. You're like, yeah, let's put that in the closet, right? Yeah, that looks good. That's on sale. Let's get that. Let's put it away. That's where you're going to be at.
Yeah, one gift a month.
That's right.
Spread it out.
That's right. Do it that way. Let's talk a little bit, Cam, before we get into what's happening right now. Just kind of about the Fresno State season. Lots of changes, right? We don't need to rehash it, but you know, Skipper comes in, and you know, there's some really tight games. But like from you. From your position, where you're at and talking to athletes and stuff, was it just like, man, we just got to survive this week? Or is it like, guys, we got to get through this? Or is it an opportunistic every week you guys took the field? Like, what was kind of like the feeling from your perspective of the season?
Yeah, I feel like the team was incredibly resilient. And a lot of the fan base, I feel like, doesn't even really know about how hard it was just going into the season with Coach Teddy stepping down. I mean, that was July, I think, 25th, maybe 26th when he stepped down. And a lot of people think Coach Skipper knew that that was coming, but he found out when Coach Teddy, you know, stepped away.
Wow.
And so, you know, he's not an excuse maker. The team's not an excuse maker. That's not the culture Fresno State has and ever will if we continue to be a good program. But they had to overcome a ton of adversity. And we never went into a week thinking, oh, we just got to survive. It was never a survival mindset. It was always a thrive. It was always we want to be the hammer, not the nail. We always want to bring the punch. We always want to punch first. And so I think the team, all things considered, fought. And they fought hard all season. I think a lot of times the ball didn't really bounce our way. I think, yes, there were some times where things could have been done better. We could have executed better. But – all in all, I think week to week, the team was trying to fight and trying to make the season something special and fought to win every single down, not just every game.
We saw that, right? Yeah. We saw that as fans, you know, just through the turmoil and adversity. And Coach Skipper, my gosh, I mean, just a bundle of love and joy, and just can't help but feel like a good person after you see him and listen to him and talk with him, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he's just the light of the earth, man. I love being around him. He's the type of guy who just makes the people around him better. So, yeah, we really enjoyed working with Coach Skip, and it was a blessing to be around him.
New coach, Matt Enns, right? And I figure once he settled in and once people got to know him and the players looked him in the eye, was able to have one-on-one conversations, like it's going to be different, right? And obviously nobody likes change. Right. Nobody likes a new guy coming in. You got to fill out people. Right. And so I think Coach Enns is doing it right. I think he's making a point to get to know the community and putting himself out there and being transparent. You've met him, right? What are some of your first impressions on new coach?
Yeah. My first impression of him, that he seemed very genuine. Some people, when they're in a position like that, where it's a very public position, very political position, especially in a place like Fresno, where you are the highest market team, you can tend to feel like someone's performing or trying to like win people over. But he just kind of seemed like he was just being him, which I really appreciated. And he also just seems like he wants the best for his players, that he's not trying to come with some agenda, but he's coming to just make Fresno State the best place possible. And so from what I picked up is that he's a solid guy. And you know what I really respect too is what other people have also felt. And when everyone's feeling the same thing, everyone who's met him says this is a good guy, whether it's a player, a coach, someone in the administration, people just out on the street, or people who work in media, when they're all saying the same thing, that Matt Entz is a great guy, it's probably a good sign. So, yeah, from what I picked up, he seems like just a solid individual, and he's keeping us around, which is nice. So that's good.
That was gonna be one of my questions, right?
That's a selfish answer right there. But
that's a great answer. That's good to hear. So you're gonna be rolling it back in year 2025, right? So that's great to hear. So Paul Leffler, everybody knows Paul, right? Again, just kind of like with Skipper and Matt Entz, right? I mean, they're just genuine. He's a genuine guy. He posted on social media a picture of you and I think I counted probably over 40 football players. Was it the night before the bowl game, probably before you got sick, right? Maybe you started feeling a little sick that night. Leading, you mentioned, right? Usually the bowl games are a little earlier in December, not around Christmas time. So, right, Christmas time has a different meaning for somebody like you and a lot of people out there. So you were able to share some things, right, with the football team and share a little message. How cool of an event was that? Were you surprised how many guys showed up to that? Because that is a nice chunk of dudes that came.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised because we do the chapel the day before every game, and that's about the rough number we get. Sometimes a little more, sometimes a little less. And so knowing that it was the last week, knowing it was the bowl game, some of the seniors' last time playing at Fresno State, and getting an opportunity to be a part of our chapel, I was expecting a good group of guys to show up. Also, what was nice is on the bowl weeks, not just the coaches come, but their spouses come as well. So a lot of the coaches and their spouses were in attendance, which was great to see, just them spend time hearing the word together. It was the fourth week of Advent, so it was the week about love. And I brought – it had nothing to do with football, but it just had everything to do with that week and what type of love Christ brings. And Jesus challenges us to be people who love their enemies, that if we're going to be people who put the world back together, we have to love the people who we don't like, the people that push our buttons, the people that rub us the wrong way, those people, whoever that is in our life. And Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan and how he loves his enemies. And he says, when we love our enemies, that's we become children of our Father. And I talked about how, you know, my dad, I know he's listening right now, he looks just like me, like we're twins. It's clear that his genes have been passed down to me. But the gene that God wants to pass down to us is the loving our enemies. And is that something we have? If the world looked at us, do we look like our Father? Because Jesus didn't say, I know you'll be my disciples based off of how successful you are, if you get that NIL deal, or if you go to the NFL, or even other things that are religious, like going to church or praying. He says, people will know you're my disciples based off of how you love one another. And so the telltale sign of a disciple of Jesus is if you love your enemies. And so that was the challenging message we gave him. Was like,
you're playing in a bowl game,
enemy,
your enemy, right?
Right.
Great message.
And so we charged him, like, hey, if you have a problem with a family member, a teammate, a coach, especially as the season's ending, you might not see that coach again. You might not see your teammate again. If it's someone at school or wherever, go make amends with that person. Make peace with them. Don't make it up to them. Make it up to you. If you're going to live at peace. So that was the message.
That's a great message. Wow. Right before you play a bowl game, strap on some equipment and try to hit the heck out of the guy across from you, right? It's a little counterculture. But good words from you. Talking with Cam Lamanuzzi, who is the team chaplain at Fresno State. Going to be back next year, which is great to hear. And, you know, like I mentioned in my opener, you and I have kind of run into each other in some random places the last few years. See you on the football field once. Like, hey, it's Cam, how's you doing? And then saw each other at Cup of Joy. And you were with, I assume, a Fresno State football player. I think this was last year. But you meet with a lot of guys one-on-one, and you know what's going on with them at a deeper level, right, away from football. I'm sure you talk football, but you're talking life stuff as well. You know, the landscape has certainly changed, right? You said you graduated, what, Bullard 2017. You were played from Fresno State when? What years did you play?
2020 to 2021.
So you're not that far removed from being a student athlete yourself. But the game's changed, right? NIL, like you mentioned, money, probably some jealousy seeps in. Probably you've seen a little bit of everything. What do you think is right now at the heart of Division I football players, basketball players, whatever? What's at their heart right now that kind of needs a little guidance, so to speak?
Yeah. I mean, every person's experience is different, and every person's experience playing college sports is different. Some people have a great time. Some people have a really challenging time. Some people are getting money thrown at them left and right. Some of them still can't pay rent. And so, you know, there's pros and cons in the world of NIL, just like anything. I'd say the cons is that there's a lot of people who think the grass is always going to be greener on the other side. They always think if I leave, I can go make more money or I can get a better opportunity. And I always tell them, like, you know, it might be greener on the other side. There's times you saw it with Joe Burrow, or you see it with, you know, there's other examples. I can't think of much right now, but people who transfer and it works out really well for them. But most of the time, the grass is greener where you water it. It's greener where you invest. It's greener where you spend time. It's greener where you get rooted. And so a lot of guys are always looking to the next thing. And that's kind of what we're seeing in the college football and just college sports landscape right now, is a lack of contentment, always looking to the next and better thing. Yes, if you have an opportunity to make $600,000, $750,000 next year and change your family's life, change your future, take that opportunity. But I think a lot of people are jumping towards things that they think are better, and then they realize it overpromised and underdelivered. Also, like you said, being a college athlete's already incredibly challenging and distracting. Like, not only are you going to school, but you're working a more than full-time job to play sports, and you're facing criticism publicly. You're facing criticism from your classmates. I mean, I was a kickoff, like, special teams guy at Fresno State, and I would show up to class after we, you know, lost to Hawaii or Boise State, and people would be, like, asking me questions about the game. Like, what happened? What did you guys do wrong? And it's like, and I'm just trying to go to Ag Business 101 right here, and you're questioning me about this. And so there was already all these distractions, and now there's a whole new component thrown on top of it, which is this NIL. So – it is challenging for a lot of our student athletes. I think it's it can become overwhelming, especially being 18, 19, 20 years old.
Different guys in your ear, right?
Right.
Whether it's friends or family members or other teammates, they're just hearing tons of voices.
Right. But on the pro side, college athletes, for the amount of time they put in, have never been generously compensated. They've always put in – I mean, it's not high school sports. You're there well over 40 hours a week. You're there sometimes it can be 70 hours, 80 hours. And considering when you go home and watch tape and watch film and you're getting recovery and all those different types of things. And so seeing guys being able to be taken care of, because they're not able to work a job. They're not able to come get a part-time job at First String Sports. They have to give their all to football or to basketball. And so them being able to pay their rent, them being able to get a vehicle that can get them to and from, getting some extra money to take their girlfriend on a date, you know, that's great, instead of seeing them stress out about money, because I've seen that. And I do see that, because there's guys who don't get NIL deals, and they make exactly what they would make without NIL. So, yeah, it's got its pros and cons for sure.
Well, I'm glad that they got somebody like you, Cam, that can pour into their lives and – you know, just be able to listen to them. So we're going to bring you back for another segment. You good for another segment, right,
yeah.
Cam? All right. We're going to bring back Cam Lamanuzzi. We'll take a break here on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports. Cam Lamanuzzi back for a second segment, talked about his role to the Fresno State football team as the team chaplain, but he's got quite a story himself as well. It's, you know, you talk about life choices and you got to go through some tough times to get to where you're at right now. But, Cam, thanks for joining us, first of all. But let's start with Bowler really quick. So what are some cool memories playing football at Bowler, man? Like, obviously, your rival San Joaquin Memorial probably got some memory. Talk about love your neighbor or love your enemy, right? I'm sure sure that was difficult at times to love San Joaquin Memorial at times.
Right.
But, like, what are some cool memories from playing football at Bullard?
Yeah, there's a ton. Playing for Coach Arax is always memorable. So we have a ton of great memories. I would say anytime we beat a Clovis school, that was good. Oh, I'm joking with you, Paul.
No, I'm fine. I'm neutral. I'm all good with everything.
Yeah, no. Anytime we beat a track school, so Central or the Clovis schools, that was always fun because, you know, we always felt like we were the underdog in those types of situations, or were viewed as the underdog. So that was were always good and fun games. But I think the biggest thing is just the time we spent, like, with our friends playing together. The times that I had with my brothers, I mean, there was a whole summer. It was my junior year. There was like three or four of us basically living at my parents' house together. You know, we were waking up going to 6 a.m. workouts every day. And so just those memories of spending time with my friends and, like, life being just really simple. It was just football, high school.
Play a little video games in between.
Play some video games,
eat some junk food.
Yeah. Cook, like, 20 eggs in the pan to feed all of us. You know, that was
– Yeah, your food was your friend's food, right? Just open the refrigerator. What do you guys got tonight, right? Let's eat.
Right. That's how it was. So, you know, those types of those memories were the best, you know. Playing next to my friend Ben Baker was always great. He was the other linebacker, and we just had a great time playing football. So
that's cool. So you decided to go play football at Fresno City before you then ended up playing at Fresno State. But there's a little moment, a little life moment for you that kind of changed the trajectory of your life. What happened?
Yeah. So my senior year at Bullard. I got really injured. It started with a groin injury, and then it just turned into an ankle injury, which hurt my other ankle. And then I eventually tore my labrum. And this, like, made my senior year very disappointing. I went from a really good junior year to a very disappointing senior year. And so all the interest I had interest from, like, UC Davis, Cal Poly, they just took a step back. And then UC Davis went through a coaching change as well. And so when that happened, you know, I basically lost touch with them. And that sent me down just like a really dark, dark place. My entire identity and reason for self-worth and identity and purpose was found in football. And when that was all gone, I just really just was like, oh, I might as well just have fun and party and all that. And so February of 2017 to August of 2017, I was sober maybe 4 or 5 days. I was, you know, drinking and smoking every day and all that. And I eventually got to a point where I was like, I need to switch something up. I need to change this. This can't be how I live any longer. And I was at actually a Bullard Central game. I was on the sidelines with my friend Ben. And I just, like, felt emotional because I was like, I should be playing, but I'm not. I let this, like, injury dictate who I was and let it take me out of the sport. I should go play at City. So I called my dad, or I texted him. I was like, I'm going to get a second shoulder surgery, because that's what I needed to do in order to get back on the field. And I was like, I want to get a second surgery and go back and play. And he was like, you have my support. So I started, like, trying to train and get back, but I still, like, couldn't let go of my habits. I was still, like, really just couldn't stop partying too hard. You know, I meet my now wife, who was just, you know, I liked her at the time. and she invited me to church. I started going to church, and I was hearing about how, you know, my identity doesn't need to be in what I do, but it's in who I am and in Christ. It's that God loves me and loves me so much that he died for me, and he would rather die than lose me, and that I'm that valuable to him. And that transformed how I view myself, but it didn't take a really deep root in me. It felt good to hear it, but it didn't transform me. And about a month later, I was driving home from a friend's house. You know, I was high and drunk, and it was about 5:30 in the morning. I crashed my car into a tree. I got arrested that night. I also was gonna go shooting with a friend the next day, so I had a loaded shotgun with me, and I got arrested and went to jail. And it was in that place where it became just abundantly clear that what I needed to do was follow God. It was crystal clear in my life. By the time I sobered up in jail, I was like, if I don't follow God, I'm going to really go off the deep end. If I don't give my life fully to him, and I didn't even know what that meant, but I just knew I needed to follow this God that they were talking about at church. And so I made a commitment in that place that I was going to follow Jesus. And as I did that, I started to just have a renewed mind. My mind and way of looking at life just started changing. Started just being a much more positive person, making better decisions, and just loving people better as well, loving myself better, learning about the value I had. So I went into Fresno City, like, fresh out of that. No one even knew. Coach Scheit didn't know. Coach C didn't know. Like, I eventually let them know, but I didn't want them to compromise my position on the team. And I tried to walk on at Fresno State before that. I was told no. And so I really knew it was going to be a no after this incident. So I was just like, my last shot is at Fresno City. And I go there. And, man, that place, I thank God I went there. Did not want to go to junior college coming out of high school. I was like, I'd rather not play football than go to junior college. And I am so thankful and grateful I went that route, because it made me humble. It made me really a lot more self-disciplined. I really struggled, like, with having motivation and discipline outside of my parents, or outside of, like, just a coach telling me what to do. But in junior college, like, if you don't show up to class, no one's holding you accountable. There's very little accountability when it comes to extra workouts or extra recovery, just because the coaches are all teachers. They all work other jobs as well. And so being able to be transformed into someone who could do things without someone making them do it, or being transformed into someone who loved doing small things for a big goal. Yeah. Yeah. And that really transformed who I was. And I remember Coach Scheit left a huge impact on me. His style of leadership was different than anything I had ever seen. And it was our first practice in fall. And we had a defensive end run up to the sideline, and he was asking for someone to tie his shoe. And just in the football culture, that's like disrespect. You don't tie someone's shoe. You don't ask someone to tie your shoe. Like, that's if you tie someone's shoe, you basically seem weak. And without hesitation, Coach Scheit, he didn't even ask Coach Scheit. He just asked somebody to tie his shoe. And without hesitation, Coach Scheit gets down on his knees and ties his shoe. And I was just, it was such a small, simple act. He probably thought nothing of it. And the listeners probably are thinking nothing of it. But to me, I was like, wow, that is something I would never do that. And I realized in that moment that I didn't know what it meant to be a leader. I thought leading was about
servant, right? Servant leadership.
Right. And so the more I got to know Coach Scheit, I found out that heart posture came from because he knew Jesus. Because Jesus served in a way. He led in a way out of servitude. He said, Jesus says, I did not come to be served, but to serve and give my life as a ransom for many. And so he showed me what it meant to lead from a place of being low. And I carried that with me through Fresno City, and that's kind of something I hold on to.
And through Fresno State, and now working for Fellowship of Christian Athletes and team chaplain, and you're going to be doing it again next year under Coach Matt Entz and his staff. So, Cam, awesome stuff. Really appreciate you coming in. We got like one more minute here. Great testimony. Awesome stuff. You've seen a lot of football throughout your life as well, right? You've seen guys on the sidelines. You probably hit a couple dudes before. Who's like the best athlete that that you've ever seen? It's like, man, that guy is different. Maybe a dude that's in the NFL now, like, man, that's something special.
To put it down to one would be pretty tough. I played against Jalen Johnson, and now we're good friends. I would say Jalen Johnson's an amazing athlete. Like, that guy's a baller. You see it basically, if he's on the field, you can count whatever receivers in front of him off the field. They basically playing with 10 players. But, you know, Aaron Mosby, also a guy at his size, being able to do what he does. I thought he was going to get drafted in the third or fourth round. I was so shocked to see him go undrafted. Evan Williams, another guy. Ronnie Rivers was the first guy that made me realize I was bad at covering as a linebacker. I went against him, and he made me think he was going this way. He put me in a blender, man. So he made me work really hard that offseason. Jake Haener is a great quarterback, super high IQ. I hope he gets to play multiple games together and get in a rhythm, because I think he's really special. So there's a ton of great athletes I've seen come through Fresno State and through the Valley, and it'd be tough to narrow
down. Well, those are some good guys, man. Those are some stud athletes that you just mentioned. And I love Cam. Obviously, you know, you've been around football for a long time. You've witnessed those guys that you just mentioned. You've played against them. You've played with them. However, you see a big picture, and, you know, the community is blessed to have somebody like you around that can – bless other people and listen to them and give them a great perspective. So, Cam, keep doing what you're doing, man. Really appreciate you. Love running into you all over town, and people speak highly of you, and it's for good reason. You got a great story, and you're living out a great life. Thank you.
Glory to God, man. Thank you so much, Paul, for having me on here.
Absolutely. That's Cam Lamanuzzi. Next, we got Tim Adminson. He's in the house here at First String Sports, a head boys basketball coach at Boulder. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, and you're listening to it on 1430 ESPN.
In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
All right, welcome back to hour number two of the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN, live here at First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon on the east side. Do my show from the Letterman's Jacket Room. Yeah, it's good to be back. Took a couple weeks off. Had some nice R&R. Good to get back into the rhythm of things. I hope you guys listen to the last hour, because Cam Lamanuzzi has a great story to tell, right? And chaplain for the Fresno State football team, and obviously he's gonna, right, it's on his heart, he's gonna be preaching it. That's what he does. But his story of redemption is great. I mean, he, no bones about it, man. The kid was high, drunk, and had a loaded shotgun in his car and was crashing into a tree, put in jail in high school. Amazing to come through that, to come full circle to where he is today. Redemption story. We love him, right? We love him. And Cam Lamanuzzi is one of them, and he's doing great things right now with his life. So thanks to Cam for coming on. If you guys missed any of that, just go to 1430ESPNFresno.com. Go under podcast, Central Valley Sports Report. You can go back and listen to it commercial free. You can listen to it straight through. So, again, lots of good stuff happening here in the Central section. And basketball, we are absolutely in the thick of it. And talk about the rhythm, right? It's kind of how our body adjusts to Christmas time and New Year's. Maybe you stayed up late and trying to get back on track. But the rhythm of sports, and we're going to be getting into league for basketball, right? So now the tournaments are done with. No mas. There's still some Saturday games and some Martin Luther King Jr. Showcases and whatnot coming on this season. But the rhythm of league is about to start off. And Coach Tim Adminson and I were talking just a little bit. We had to run here to the table because, hey, we're going on air right now. So, Tim, thanks for put that microphone up. There we go. So, Tim, you're, I don't know, been around a while. Don't take offense to that. But the rhythm of basketball, right, is pretty important, right? You get through those tournaments, and I know you got an injury that, you know, to one of your players going to talk about in just a second, but the rhythm of starting league and stuff, that's important because these guys kind of get beat up a little bit.
Yeah, it's tough. You kind of look forward to December after a long month of practice in November, but then it's 14 to 17 games in 4 weeks and very little practice time. I think we played 9 straight games without a practice, and you're watching film and you're trying to fix things and on the fly. So you get a lot of game reps in, but then you don't get a lot of time to fix it in practice other than talking about it and watching film. So it'd be nice to get back to, 2 or 3 practices a week and games, 1 or 2 games a week. And I look forward to that rhythm.
Well, yeah, the coaches and the players are tired of that, right? It's like, okay, how much can you talk about something without having to practice it, right? You got to go through the motions.
Well, we're out of town and come back for 2 days for Christmas and leave the next morning after Christmas to go out of town again and play 4 more games. And so I think all the coaches and kids are a little tired and beat up, and you just got to get through it. It's the way it is.
So what, and I do want to ask you about Christmas. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask. Like, so the life of a basketball coach is obviously rigorous and tough, and anytime you can spend with your family. So how are you able to spend Christmas? You have some time with the complete fam, or is it just kind of on your own?
Well, almost. Tess is still overseas playing, so everybody else we had together in the Amundsen household. We didn't get together with my brother because they were out of town. He had to go to Damien. So we didn't have much time. We're actually going to do one in January with them.
Okay.
But wife and kids, yeah, and grandkids in 2 days, and then out again. So it's been kind of tough. I haven't been around very much.
Did you get at least a good meal? Did you get a good home-cooked meal?
Yeah, I had a couple good meals and hung out and played games and just relaxed.
Good. All right. So, Tim, you've been on the show a lot. We've had some great conversations over the years. I've known you for a long time, since the Fresno Pacific days. Maybe we'll get into some of those days because I know you're very fond of those days. I think a lot of people do not know growing up, right? Growing up, Edmondson, obviously Tony and Ty, your brothers, but grew up in the Bay Area. But both of your parents were deaf, correct?
Yes.
And so what was life like growing up? I think Tony said once, well, I had to spend a lot of time on the phone getting doctor's appointments for our parents and whatnot. You guys had to take a different type of responsibility, didn't you?
I had to do that.
That was you. Tony's taking credit.
Tony did. I was the oldest, so my mom always called me in to make calls, and whether it's financial stuff, bills, or work, calling in sick, anything. I learned how to talk to adults at a very young age to help my mom and dad communicate. So. Oh, and I used to get mad because I'm outside playing with my friends, and they call me in, and we're playing basketball or baseball or something. And then looking back, I realized how much they needed us to help them out and stuff. So, yeah, it was just part of it.
It's just part of growing up. Like, right. When did you realize, it's different? You mentioned playing in the backyard, playing basketball in the front yard, having to be called in. But, when did the other kids know about it? Like, what was just the situation
like? Well, growing in our neighborhood, we had 25 kids in our neighborhood, so they all knew my parents. But, it was just part of it. Nobody else knew sign language. And as we got older, like my wife now and girlfriends and Tony and Ty's, we all learned sign language so they can communicate with our parents. So things like that were pretty neat. But overall, the neighborhood, they just wave at our parents and say hi and try to talk. They were just part of it.
And your dad was a pretty good basketball player himself?
Yeah. Deaf Basketball Hall of Fame. So I think he held the record. I don't know if it's still there, but they have these almost like Deaf Olympics. I don't know what the word for it would be, but they're big on sports, and they'll go to New Orleans for 7 days and do these basketball tournaments and things like that. He was the all-time record holder for 63 points in a game. So, and the level is not – it's different. It's not – It's good, but he held that record for as long as I remember. I don't know if it's broken yet or not.
Did he teach you how to shoot?
Yeah, he would work out with us in the backyard. I remember him more helping me with baseball, playing catch, because I was more of a baseball player growing up. And we always played basketball, but I was on soccer and baseball. And I only played 1 year of high school basketball. So I was more baseball and soccer, and then I kind of fell in love with basketball and played. When I met Vance.
When you met Vance.
He talked me into playing, yeah.
It all goes back to
going
Vance.
Going into my senior year.
all right, so you mentioned Tess a little bit, right? Tess is playing overseas, and Lainey, right? Lainey found her way back here to Fresno, didn't she?
Right. Playing at Fresno. Going to watch her after this, 2 o'clock today, Fresno State. So.
And what's Tess's situation right now?
She's in Montenegro, and their team's in first place doing well. So she's sad she didn't get to go home for Christmas and holidays, and it kind of hit her hard this year because usually she's taken a pass and gotten home for a couple days, and she had to stay. So she's there till March, so she got a ways to go. But playing, they practice twice a day, and she's getting paid, and they're in first place. So they're doing well.
Any chance of her, you know, getting a tryout with a WNBA team, or do you talk about
goal.
That?
Her agent's working on it. She's trying, and so. And the level of the league she's in now is not quite what she was in Puerto Rico over the summer, and that was like they had WNBA players in the league and Olympians and things like that, so she got to play with and against. The league she's in now is not quite as good, but her team, she said, is really good. They have a lot of girls who can play.
Is she inside-out player? Is she hitting a lot of threes?
So on this team, she's in more in than out, and she doesn't love that. So she's posting more than she normally does, and saying that they have a lot of guards that can shoot, so she's whatever she can do to help the team win.
And
so she's kind of an inside-out four right now, yeah.
All right. Well, hopefully she'll get that tryout, right?
Right.
Come back here to the United States.
We'll
I wish she could spend Christmas with
growing.
You guys.
Women's basketball is growing, so there's more opportunity.
Absolutely. So Connor. Right, nephew Connor, been tracking him. Obviously, he's a Dartmouth. Did you see this, Tim? I did a little research. In his last five games, so I think they had a blowout win yesterday or the day before, he shot 20 of 23 threes and made. He's 20 of his last 27 from threes.
Well, I saw season stats the other day. He's over 50% from the three on the year.
Well, that helps, right? When you go 20 for your last 27.
12 and a half a game for a freshman starting. Pretty impressive.
Do you think he was overlooked a little? Obviously, he's doing very well. He's getting an A-plus education.
He comes in our family. Most of our family's been overlooked the whole time growing. Like, Tony was a heck of a player, and coaches had to be convinced to take Tony. And Tony can play. Like, he had NBA tryouts and things like that. He was overlooked. So Connor's very similar.
Why do you think that is?
They don't look the part. They're not super big, super athletic. Or they don't think they're athletic. But I think Division One. I know, you know, I'm not telling coaches what to do and stuff. But I think ballers, kids that can play basketball, are overlooked sometimes versus size, length, and athleticism. And you know, I see a lot of that. Nobody can make a shot. I think IQ and guys who can play are much overlooked. If I was in college, I'd recruit probably half and half. If you could. I know it's a very typical challenge, but a lot of guys in college can't make shots. Everybody defends, and you got to find guys who can make shots and create shots and get easier shots for their teammates. And to me, that's a baller.
And Connor's a baller.
Connor's a baller.
And so is your family as well, and you and Tony. I want to talk. Let's talk about Bullard basketball right now, where you guys are at. You're 10-7. Guys played in some tough tournaments. Played a tough game. Was that on the 30th Western Ranch in overtime? You guys fell 73-69. Tough game with Vanden as well. Where do you guys feel you are at right now?
long week.
Long story, long week.
Long
huh?
week. So obviously we talked about Javance. He hurt his foot again. I thought we were playing really well at Mission Prep. I think we won three in a row and we're in the finals. And after the semifinal game, he had a sore foot. And it turned into, we didn't play him the next game and brought him back, got x-rays, and they want him off his feet for a while. So I don't know when he'll be back. Hopefully he's back. I feel bad for the kid. He's playing really well. But I thought we were out of town. We were gelling. We beat three pretty good teams. And I wanted to go play North full squad, and we had to go play him without him. I thought our kids did a great job of hanging in against North. And it was like a rock fight. It was very physical, tough. I thought we guarded him well. We just couldn't score enough. I think we're up five halfway through the third quarter. And the impact of losing one kid, he's our OB guy. So our guys didn't know we were on the fly calling plays. Some of the kids were in different positions. We couldn't run them right. We literally struggled. And then we come back, no practice time, go back to Modesto Christian and lost. We beat a very good Amador Valley team. I think they're 12-2. So that was a really good win for us. And then we're down two going in the fourth at West, and we just stopped scoring. I think we wore down. Our kids look really tired. And then the next game, Vanden, a winnable game. I thought we played really well. We missed 23 layups in that game.
Ooh.
And lost by six or five or whatever it was. Good team, big and physical. Again, I thought we played very hard and tough. And then we had Western Ranch beat up 12 with four to go. And Western Ranch has played a you know, they lost to Buchanan by three. They lost to North by three, East by five or six. We're right there. We're up 12 with 4 minutes to go. The guy hit a 75-foot shot at the buzzer to tie it right in front of our bench.
Come on.
Just killed
did
us.
Did he throw it or he did he shoot
1. It? 1.2. We make a free throw. He catches, turns, and throws. Backboard in. We go overtime, lose by four. End up losing by four. Just devastating. Because my goal after Modesto is to be 12 at high side, 12-5, 11-6, and that would have accomplished the goal, so we're a little short. You know, I'm worried about seeding at the end of the year and home games and all that stuff, and that would have – we played a good schedule. I think our strength is top three in the section, and then we lose a guy. You know, Miranda missed a game. Felder missed a game. Javance has missed six, seven games now. So we've had guys out, and other guys are stepping up, and that's, I think it's good for our, at the end of the year, a lot of our young guys are getting to play. And I didn't realize this till we're at Modesto. When coaches were talking, I'm like frustrated with things, and only three guys that are playing minutes got any minutes on varsity last year. So all the other guys who have not played varsity minutes. They gotta grow. It's gonna take time to grow and learn and go through it a little bit.
So Javance, you mentioned 17 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. So when you lose your ball handler, right? You don't have to worry about ball handling when you got Javance out there.
He's so good, you forget the other little things the point guards do. Like he could tell you everybody's responsibility in every set we want to run, every play. He knows he can get us into anything. Western Ranch, we're up 12. We're trying to get into stuff. They were blowing us up. We were just not handling the ball, and we had a lot too many live ball turnovers that led to layups. If we just take those away, we can finish those games. But we're just kind of struggling without Javance against good pressure.
Is it the same foot as
foot, not the same injury?
Ugh.
So it's on top, and I don't know. I talked to his dad about it a little bit, and they seem to think he'll be back at some point.
All right.
So
all right, there's some hope.
He's been at practice. It's been good. So,
yeah, he's a really good basketball player. I've enjoyed watching him over the last, he's a junior. He's a three-year starter for you.
Yep.
Started as a freshman. You got another really good guard, however, right? Felder, Dalen Felder.
Yep.
He gets buckets, right? What does he bring to the basketball court? And how much are you going to have to lean on this guy now?
A lot. So we may have to have him handle the ball more. I've been going back and forth with him and a couple of other kids. He had a hard time against North handling, but that was the first game without practice. So I think we're going to have him handle the ball a lot more along with Miranda. And, again, he's averaging about 17 a game as well, mid-17s. And when he's on, he's really good. And he's getting to the basket a lot more. He's getting to the free throw a lot more. He's defending better. So he's really growing as a player.
So who are some other guys that you hope are going to step up? Some role players now, they're going to have to get more minutes.
Our only senior that plays a ton is James Miranda, and he's the next. He's had one bad game. It was the Vanden game. It was his worst game in 2 years. But other than that, he's been a stud, like really good player. So we need him to be more aggressive, more assertive, and look to score because he's cool with getting 12 points and 10 rebounds and 6 assists and defending the best player. He does a lot that people don't see. He's a very good player, but we need him to score a little bit more right now just because we have a big hole right now.
Well, he's a stat stuffer.
And guys on our bench, just a little bit more. Like, three or four more guys, just a little bit more each. Next man up.
Next man up. All right, so looking at your schedule now here, we're talking with Tim Abinson, head boys basketball coach at Bullard High School. Next game's on the 10th, right,
yep.
According to Max Prep. So you got some time, right?
7 practices. Excited.
I'm curious, though. So you mentioned, right, we talked about how other guys are going to have to step up. Their bodies need some recovery time. Like, you and your staff get together, like, okay, we're going to install this. We're going to work on this. Like, how much are you going to push them, right, if at all, right? You want them to be fresh, so to speak, when you play Sanger on the 10th.
We're going to go hard. I mean, they had 2 days off for Christmas, and then we had the weekend, or New Year's Day, New Year's Eve off, and then we had practices the last couple of days. We had a couple of good practices. Just fine-tuning what we need. I thought we defended really well, so we just keep reviewing that. We're just going to find a way to be a little more efficient in scoring. So running more sets to get our best guys' touches and spots where they can help us. And so we're going over that, and we put some new stuff in the last 2 days. I want to put a bunch more in on Monday. And then, rest, but also stay in shape. And, some of the guys that didn't play as much, they got to be in shape. So we run them a little bit. And we're going, 2 hours a day. And in a couple of weeks, we'll cut back to 90 minutes. And hopefully we'll peak at the end here.
What's going to be the focus point the rest of the year? So let's say Javance maybe comes back for playoffs or the last part of league? Like, you're going to hammer down. We got to be better at rebounding. Because I know last year we had a couple big guys you could count on from protecting the rim and getting some rebounds. This year is a little bit different. So what's going to be like the focus?
Keyshawn's averaging a double-double in junior college.
Is he?
He's playing really well. It's good. For Mike Marcial.
Oh, yeah.
So he's playing at College of San Mateo, doing really well. I ran into Mike in Modesto. And, yeah, we miss Keyshawn, but our guys are getting better. Our four position was Deshaun Franklin and Ira and Tyler, and they've gotten better and better. So rim protection's different for us because Keyshawn blocks shots, chain shots, and we're trying to wall, and we're trying to protect the rim with taking charges and just positioning. So they've gotten better each week, I thought, a lot, actually. And then what was the other question?
Well, just focus the rest of the year. So you're talking about rebounding, right? You miss Keyshawn. But
coming in, rebounding was our number one. We're really small. But I thought we've competed in all – Vanden's big. All these teams, we've competed on the boards pretty well, much better than I thought. The thing that's killed us are live ball turnovers right now, number one. If we were a little bit better in that category, we'd probably have three or four more wins. Because when we defend, teams are having a hard time. It's just you turn it over the lane and in. You can't guard that. You're chasing turnovers. We just got to be better with the ball.
Or when a kid's throwing in a 75-footer at the buzzer. Come on, man.
That was a rough New Year's Eve and New Year's. That stayed with me. Our kids played well. They fought. It's just,
it's tough to recover in overtime.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
All right. So I want to ask you about league. So mentioned Sanger's coming up on the 10th, and then you got Roosevelt Fresno, the Bakersfield Christian game. Is that a showcase game? Showcase. And then Edison Sunnyside Hoover Memorial, Sunnyside Hoover Memorial again. The reason why I say that is because the CMAC is different. I talked about it before Christmas break, but CMAC's different. So there's two divisions, right?
Three
divisions.
Yep.
So your double games are Memorial, Hoover, and Sunnyside. Did I get that right?
Yes. And those are the only ones that count for our league. And the other ones are crossovers, just like non-league games.
Do you like it right now? Or you're going to have to wait
sure.
and see?
I missed the history of Edison and Sanger as well. We've always had good games with Sanger. So we only play them once each, and it doesn't count in our league. So interesting. But we pick up, Hoover and Sunnyside, who are probably a lot better than the bottom half of our league. Some of our games are lopsided in the league, so I think they make it better for sure. So, I coached at Hoover for a few years, and it'll be fun to play them in the league now. I don't know if I like changing all the time. I like the history of league and our rivalries and things like that. But we'll give it a run and see how it goes.
Is it going to be year to year?
Like, I think it might change 2 years, and it depends on how competitive you are. So, like, the teams we're playing are Sanger, Edison, Fresno High, and Roosevelt. They're in the league together.
Okay.
And then the rest are below them with, like, Garza, Madera, the rest, McLean, all them. So there's three. That's the three different breakoffs. And then we have crossovers with Sanger, Edison, and them. And when we got our six-game league with Hoover, Sunnyside Memorial is going to go quick at the end.
Well, it is, right? So you play Memorial on the 31st, and then a couple weeks later on the 12th, you play them to end league. So
right.
It happens really, really fast.
Right.
All right. So who are, like, obviously Memorial, that's the big matchup that a lot of people talk about. So what are some of the problems scouting these teams? You watch them in the Nike, the Clovis West Nike.
So I saw very little. I'm actually, after my daughter's game, I'm going to be at Sanger all day. They all play at Sanger today. I think Roosevelt, Hoover, Sanger, and Memorial all play today. So I'll be there all night watching them tonight. I watched a little bit of film, not yet, but I'm going to hit that hard, like tonight and tomorrow. I've seen Memorial a bunch of times. They're very good. Size. They're running, they're playing together. They're sharing the ball. They got a lot of size. So that's a challenge in itself. It's just the size. And they have good guards. Hoover and Sunnyside, very athletic. They both have 10. I think they're both coming up on 10 wins. So they're both solid and very athletic. So looking forward to it.
So Clovis North, you played them this year. You played them twice?
Once.
Just the one time in the tournament?
Yeah.
So they're ranked number 2 by Max Preps. St. Joseph is ranked number 1. Like St. Joseph, and we know what Clovis North did to them last year. That was one of the greatest basketball performances I've seen in a long time. Talking about Clovis North beating St. Joseph. Like,
I agree.
One ever, man. I mean, the game plan that Tony and his staff put together, and then the execution part in last year's game was phenomenal. I mean, that should be, like, archive that game forever,
right?
Go back and look at that game on how to beat a team that is supposed to beat you by 20 points.
Right. Very impressive.
St. Joseph, what's it going to take to beat them this year?
Well, I haven't seen them in person. I just know they are deservingly number one. It's going to be very tough. But, you know, some of the couple of teams, like Memorial matches up, North, never count them out, right? And I think St. Joseph's the team to beat.
So John Penberthy from Fresno Christian, he's coming on the show next, coming live here at First String Sports. And he actually asked me to ask you a question.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, I know, right? And,
as he walks in,
right, speak him into existence. he wants to know who the greatest player is you've ever coached.
Standing right in front of him.
Huh? I mean, this is live radio right now, so you're kind of on the spot. You're looking at somebody, but, I mean, you could be honest here.
There's a few, but I probably at the top is Javance Coleman.
Larry, okay.
Most talented, best kid. Like, I thought he was very close to being NBA. And that was my first 2 years as a head coach. I walk into that, a young guy, and Javance is a 13-year-old playing varsity. And since then, I've had Kevin Bailey was pretty good. He went D1 out of high school. Rob Sandoval is a really good one. I don't want to leave guys out. John Hetherington, Hoover, we had a lot of good guys. But I think Javance is probably a little bit above the rest.
For those that never –
he was like a triple-double in game. I mean, he'd score whenever he wanted, but he was very 10 assists, 10 rebounds, could guard. Just high IQ on the court. Very good player. Super athletic and strong.
Yeah, is there a play that you remember? He's got some legendary dunks, right? You could just Google Javance Coleman dunks and you could see some crazy stuff that he's done. But is there like a play that just kind of wowed you that you remember, or maybe a situation?
Just total, this total game. He played it the right way. He's very you're open, you're a shooter, you're going to get it. You know, he drops it off to the post. He could go in and dunk on you. And he can – you know, and the only flaw in high school when he was young was just shooting the three, but he worked on that and got better and better. So when he got to college, he was good enough to play and shoot it. So he dunked on me. He's really good. Really good. I had no idea. I'm a young guy walking in. And I just left Chris Hernandez and those guys. I was assisting with Vance at West, and they had some good guys. So when I was really young, those were probably the guys, right? But Javance would be the best one as a head coach.
Just those guys just – that are super talented, you would watch them and like, man, how is the game so easy at times to these guys?
You know, I mean, Javance played professionally for, I think, 9 years. Rob Sandoval, 8 or 9. Kevin Billy played for 3 or 4. All those guys, you know, played professionally.
And those are the times at Clovis East.
Right.
Right, Rob and Bailey.
Yep.
And what – so how many total titles do you have as a coach?
Oh, my God. I really – so
– do we know this, John? Coach Pemberley, is it 4? Right, two at East?
3 at East.
3 at East.
1 at Bullard.
Are we at 4?
Yep.
Okay, sounds about right.
Right.
You're not a big ring.
Seven runner-ups, I think. Six or seven. And 5 of them by 1 possession.
Do those hurt more than those wins?
Yes, I remember them more.
The pain.
Yeah, just one play. I think we were in the finals 5 out of 6 years, my first 5 at Bullard, and lose to Central by 1 point. We lost in double overtime to West, and we got Central in the old Division I. We got blown out once, but, a lot of close games.
Well, that one at Central, right? That was like – was that the COVID year?
Yep.
Where you had to play at Central, but you guys won.
It was kind of weird. We played at Central, sellout crowd, and it was the year that nobody was allowed in gyms, and it was just kind of a weird ending to the school year. Packed house.
Great stuff, Coach. Love talking to you about basketball, and we got Coach Penberthy up coming up next. So I want to ask you this as we go to commercial and bring on Coach Penberthy. Like Bullard basketball, we talked about, you know, what you guys need to do throughout the rest of the season. But how do you frame the year? Right? I mean, there's some coaches say, you know, league championship or bust. You know, Valley Championship are a bust. But, like, how do you frame a season? You just want to get better. You want to improve.
Well, I think each year you have presents different goals, knowing your team and knowing other teams and personnel and stuff. Our goal is always to win league and get a home game for playoffs. So, we go phase 1 is November, where it's a rough month of practice because you don't get to play anybody else for a month. And then phase two is like December. Phase three for us is league. Phase four is playoffs. Phase five is state playoffs. And haven't made it to phase six yet, state championship game. So we go phases, and we try to chunk it and work on certain things at certain times to achieve. Like I said, I was hoping to be 12-5. I thought that was a realistic goal. We missed that by a couple of games. We've had a lot of injuries too. So next goal is to try to win league, which will be tough to do. And then the next goal, that's to try to get a home game for playoffs and go from there.
Good stuff as always. So January 10th, you guys have a home game. Sanger's coming to town 6:30 on the 10th, and you play at Roosevelt on the 15th. Always great to catch up with you, Tim. I've been a big fan, enjoyed my time watching you play basketball at Fresno Pacific and beyond. So we didn't even get into Fresno Pacific stuff. I know that that was a fun time for you. But it's always great catching up with you, and good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, we'll take a break here and bring on John Penberthy. You're listening to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports. Just had a good conversation, always, with Tim Adamson. The guy's a basketball junkie. That name goes a long way in the Central Valley and up through the state as well. John Penberthy, head boys basketball coach at Fresno Christian, joins us now. And Coach Adamson had an opportunity there, John, to say you were one of the best players of all time that he was able to coach. But what's going on? He's naming like Javance Coleman, Robert Sandoval, and all these guys. But
you know, I was shocked that I wasn't in his top five. I was kind of hoping to get in that top five, but you started listing off some guys, and I was like, yeah, I'm not getting in that top five. No, I'm not getting in that top ten. But no, I got to play for Tim for a couple years, and I got to play with Javance. And Tim was right. Javance was the best player that I've played with, and probably maybe even against, because it was transfers that we got to play against him as well. But got to play with him through junior high and then a couple years at Hoover. And he was incredible, just an incredible athlete.
Yeah, and coaching his son now, Tim, life comes full circle, right? We're at a certain age. We're like, yeah, we're now covering, you know, the sons of guys that we played against or played with or whatever, right? It's just it's a fascinating time of life for guys our age, right?
It is. It's a lot of fun. I mean, like you said, guys that I played with are now coaching. It maybe the question I should have had you ask Tim was, how many players did you coach that are now coaching?
Exactly.
And he's got a lot of guys that he coached that are now coaching, whether that are still around or even from Hoover. A lot of guys from Hoover that played that are still coaching, and that's pretty cool too, just the legacy from Ron Moore and Tim being there a couple years, and even some of the guys between that, between Jeff Schmidt and Nick French that coached there. But there's been a lot of guys coming out of Hoover in those early 90s, early 2000s that are still coaching as well.
The coaching fraternity is a strong one. It's a tight-knit group, isn't it, right? I talk a lot about the Fresno – I mentioned it with Tim, the early 90s Fresno Pacific group. There's a ton of coaches from that era, a ton from Hoover, right? It's just it's just really tight. And
yeah, it's a lot of fun, too, when you get to catch up with them.
Yeah.
And some of these guys, for me, it's like either we played against each other in junior high and then high school and then in college, because a lot of us did go to kind of that GSAC schools, whether it's Biola, Azusa, Westmont, Fresno Pacific, Masters. So then we got to play against each other, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, shoot, we got kids that are all the same ages, and now they're all starting to get into the high school world and playing. So it is a tight-knit group, and as much as we compete against each other, we quietly root for them.
Yeah,
as
absolutely.
Well, kind of on the side, and at the same time you're like, can't wait to coach against them and kind of see where our teams stack up against each other as well. So that's a lot of fun. And
no, I agree. And one thing really quick before we get into your team at Fresno Christian. Yeah, so Greg Zeffelotto, who played during that time at Fresno Pacific, his son Luke, who's going to be a Division I player, got to play at Clovis North, got to see him live. And I don't know if you saw the clip, John, but Zeffelotto's hit 2 3-pointers at the buzzer for wins. One was against Sierra Canyon. It was, an incredible shot by Luke. So, it's just, right? I mean, it's just so fun to see that.
It's a lot of fun. That kid could play. We got to play against him. And, you know, as a coach, you remind your players of how cool it is to be able to play against guys that you're going to be watching on TV one day. Javance was one of those guys. And then just being able to coach against other players, you're like, dude, you're going to see him playing on Saturday. Go out and have fun. Just compete. Do your best. And pray he has an off night. But in this case, the kid didn't. I think he had 30 versus us. But you just go compete. And that's all you ask him to do. Compete, have fun, and knock him over, pick him up type of thing, and get back up and do it again.
And not only is your team competing, your Fresno Christian Eagles, but you guys are winning basketball games. You're currently 10-4 this season. You competed in the Clovis West Nike Invitational as well. Coming off a couple losses, right, against some really good teams. But just talk about the season right now, where you guys are at. Like, are you happy with it? Obviously, room for improvement. But sure. How's the season going so far?
Yeah, overall, the record is maybe a little better than we thought it would be. I mean, we went to the Clovis North tournament, and we went 2-1 there, which is a great showing for us. Then that next weekend turned around and went to the Clovis West tournament and went 3-1.
And beat Hoover.
To play in two kind of the premier tournaments in our section and to come out going 5-2 is something that I think most schools would want. And so we were in a position to do that. So that was a good thing for us. And then going to Mission Prep was just a lot. We opened up with a team from Germany. I mean, where in the world? That one's not even on Max Preps yet. And these kids are just like grown adults. And again, we're just like, go have fun, guys. Let's see where we're at. And it was a lot closer game as a 10-point game. So it's been a good record year, but I think we could probably point back to two or three of those games and go, you know what? We kind of dropped those ones. We dropped the ball, and I chalk it up to a couple things I think I could have done better as a coach and prepping the guys. And I also think just because of the nature of playing in so many tournaments, we're just exhausted. We have eight, nine guys on the varsity team, and all eight or nine are playing 27 minutes a game, and you got to do it 4 days in a row. It's hard. And we haven't had a single game in a week since our first game of the year. We had one game open with Redwood over at the Save Mart Center. And other than that, we've been in tournament game, and it's three or four in a row. And it's just exhausting, and I think that's what we ran into. I think if we played those guys on a Tuesday or Friday night and having a couple days to prep for them, I think we could have had a better showing. Whether or not that would have changed the result is an unknown. They bested us in the tournament, so we got to give them the props for that. But I think overall we're playing pretty well, and there's always room for improvement, and that's kind of what we're working on over the break and going into next week with Kingsburg and Sunnyside.
And Tim mentioned that too. What did he say? Nine? This is – I don't – maybe is it an anomaly this year? I don't know. But nine games in a row without a practice. That's almost unheard of, right? Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. So we had, we had a Thursday, Friday, Saturday at Clovis North. Practiced Monday. Played Tuesday, Wednesday. Had a shoot around on Thursday, and then played Friday, Saturday. Had Monday, Tuesday off, and then went to the coast and played four games in a row.
Tough games.
Yeah, tough games for us. Very tough games. They're all Division I, II opponents. And so that's been, 11 games and three practices? And it showed. There are things that it was like, that's not what we do. But when you're doing that so often and you finally do get a day off, you can't even really practice because you know the guys are just beat up. And so it turns into a shoot-around. And you're kind of looking at your practice plan. You just kind of crumble it up and toss it in the waste bin and go, we're too beat up.
That's right.
And so I think Christmas falling on a Wednesday hurt because that kind of changes final schedules for kids to make sure that they're in class for finals. You know, the Mission Prep tournament, typically they go Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And this one was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Monday. So do you come home Saturday after your game? Do you stay out there? And It just presented challenges. We took the week after Christmas off, and that was probably the best thing for our boys. I was like, I don't even want to see you this week. Enjoy your family time, and we'll see you after January 1st. And that's kind of how we went about it. So we had a good long break, but there's probably some rust that needs to be knocked off, and we'll see how it works out come Tuesday.
And you do have a game Tuesday against Kingsburg. Might as well go ahead and say it. We're going to be broadcasting that game on 1430 ESPN. Phil Bonanni and I are going to be there. Really looking forward to that one. Two really good basketball teams. I know you guys are going to enjoy listening to that. John, we got to take a break really quick, then we'll bring you back, and we'll talk about some more fun stuff, more basketball talk. You're listening to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back. Central Valley Sports Report. John Penberthy here. I had to take a quick break. Gotta need our sponsors, right? Sponsors got to get some love here. And we love our sponsors. We love First String Sports doing our show from here. So, John, you talked about your team, 10-4. You guys competed very, very well against, you know, the Hoovers. You beat Hoover. You beat Clovis High. You beat Redwood by, what, 27 points. Who are some standouts, man? I've only seen one of your game. We're going to do your game on Tuesday against Kingsburg. But who are some dudes that have stepped up for you this year?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, we, by nature of injuries, we only have 8 guys on our varsity roster. And so the whole team plays. And it's good and bad if you're on the team you're playing.
Yeah, right.
We've had, I want to say in the Hoover game, we had 4 kids in double figures. And that's kind of how we really promote basketball at Fresno Christian, is that you're, as a unit, you're very good. And not to knock anyone down, but as an individual, nobody on our team is Javance Coleman. We don't have one kid that could go out there and drop 40 regularly. Even scoring 30 is tough. But as a unit, we're good. And when we start putting 4 and 5 guys in double figures, that's when you start seeing us beat the Clovis Highs, and we play well against a Redwood and move the ball a little bit. And that's what we really promote. Our goal really is to see 3 guys right around 15, 16 a game, and then to see 1 or 2 more in that 8 to 12 window. And it's not that our offense is geared to it, but the fellas understand, you know, at a paint touch and a kickout's a very good option. Or, you know, a guy hit a 3, I get a paint touch and there's no help, we get a layup.
Yeah.
Like, hey, that good job. You recognize that. And when you see our scoring go up, that's typically what it is. When the scoring's down, normally it's guys are holding onto the ball a little too long. And we kind of try and teach them a little bit of a, you have a second to decide what to do. And if you're holding the ball longer than that, we got to reset. And that's not a fun thing to hear from your coach getting on you about resetting something. So, but, you know, our seniors have stepped up. Aiden Milley's been playing well. He's been leading our team in scoring probably. Does a little bit of everything, and he's also right up there in rebounds. Having Jeremiah transfer over, he was a Fresno Christian kid up until 4th or 5th grade, and having him come back has really opened up a lot for our guys to not have the pressure of bringing the ball up. And for those that haven't brought the ball up, it's not easy to do. And you have the weight of the offense on your shoulders. And Jeremiah has taken that on really well, and it's freed up Noah to score the ball a little bit more and to be a little bit more focused on scoring. And then we kind of got this next window of guys that have kind of filled in with more scoring. And Devin Gaines is right around there, about 12 to 14 points a game, which is a little lower than we'd want him to be. We'd like to see him be a little bit more aggressive, but he's been kind of filling in those spots too, filling in the gaps. And then we just got guys that love playing basketball and really only care about winning. And you got to have those guys that are like, yeah, I'll dive for a ball. I'll guard the hardest guy. I'll go rebound. Yeah, I'll run. And that's where Trevor and Tyson have really, really done a great job of filling those spots. So we've genuinely just played well as a whole. And I think that's what makes us special. I think that's what makes us unique, is if we were game planning, you may say we need to shut this kid down. But then you look over and go, oh, wait, he's scoring the same amount. And he's scoring right around the same amount. And that makes it a little bit tougher to go, who do we put our better defenders on, because we're going to have a mismatch somewhere. And so that's kind of what we tried to recognize as a unit and teaching the kids, is it's okay to say, hey, you know what, today's going to be their day, and I'm gonna be the role player today. And it's not easy being 17 and being told, hey, we need you to play second fiddle today and let this guy kind of eat a little bit more. But the kids are starting to figure that out, that winning and scoring less is a lot more exciting than maybe scoring a few more points and losing. And that's a tough thing to do, especially in today's world of wanting to put everything on social media for everybody to see And once they kind of wrap that thought around their head, you see more wins starting to pop up and beating bigger teams.
You're 10-4. You guys, you're going to be getting in the league here soon. You got some tough matchups. Talk about that Kingsburg game. And then obviously, you guys got a really, really good chance of winning a Central Section title game. We only got like 4 more minutes here, John. And, you know, growing up Penberthy, and I love hearing stories of you and your brothers. Mike's a name that resonates around here, a Hoover legend. We did the Hoover game and saw his name up there with the Hall of Fame. But you know, his time overseas, obviously with the Lakers winning the title and being a shooting coach and now with the Denver Nuggets. But yeah. Did you guys ever go, get on a plane and go watch him play overseas or not?
I wish.
Never did.
You know, since you had Tim on earlier, I could kind of give him a hard time. The hard part with Mike being with the Lakers and in Europe is our seasons were at the same time. And so my dad at that time was going through cancer. And so he had a hard time getting anywhere, which is with treatments and everything. But we never, as a family, got to go over and see him. I think my brother Joe might have been playing overseas as well. And that was really before streaming games was yeah. popular. So watching him play was nearly impossible to do, but he's got some pretty cool mixtapes that people
have
put on.
He does. I know.
There.
I've seen those.
And so that was always exciting. And even just a phone call to Europe back in 2005 or whatever it was, you had calling cards in that thing.
Yeah.
Like this wasn't just hopping
on
yourself.
And a weird dial tone and weird numbers to push.
You're pushing like 17 numbers to get a phone call going. So that was always hard to do. But a lot of the fun with us growing up, and Mike and I are 9 years apart, was just going and playing pickup games. And so whether that was low rims or just front yard battles, and that's where I really learned how to play and learned how to, my goodness, I have 3 All-Americans on my team and my brothers. Yeah, I better pass them the ball. And I better give it to them in a place where they could catch and shoot and not have to work too hard. But that's how we learned to play, and that's how we learned to compete with each other and playing 21 and 2-on-2 and 3-on-3 with your buddies and you have your brothers next to you.
Yeah.
You just learn to compete. Like, being 8 years younger than him is like, oh, you better learn to play really well and not make mistakes. So.
And take an elbow here or there. And
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. If Aaron were here next to me, he'd say, yeah, I beat John up pretty good. So, but that was just how we did things. We always had a basketball in the car. We always had a pair of basketball shoes in the car, and there's always a black top shoe and always an indoor shoe so that when you saw guys playing at the park, you're like, oh, good, I got my shoes. I'm ready to go.
Let's get some run.
Yeah, let's go play. And we had a ball on vacation. Like, we'd be driving somewhere and we'd be guys playing at the park, and my parents would just say, let's pull over and let you guys go get out of the car and play. So we played all over. During vacations, just random pickup games, whether it's the 3-on-3 tournaments or something like that. And it just became a little bit of a fun thing to do. So there's never not a ball in the car, whether that's our baseball and glove or just a basketball. So it, looking back, really was a lot of fun to have 3 older brothers that you could just built in friendships and built in basketball team, essentially, to go play places.
Now you're coaching at Fresno Christian. Mike is with the Denver Nuggets still, correct?
Yep.
And obviously Aaron's still around doing his thing.
Yeah, so Aaron actually, the athletic director, made a decision to hire him as the varsity baseball coach over at Fresno Christian now. So he'll be coaching at Fresno Christian as the baseball coach. He's still over at Kasner, and they were gracious enough to allow me to snag him to be the baseball coach. So the program's excited about that.
Breaking news right here live on 1430 ESPN, new baseball coach at Fresno Christian.
Yep.
Aaron Penberthy.
So we're excited
awesome.
About that. My brother Joe's pastoring up in the Seattle area. So it still get together when we can and still laugh and pick up the basketball here and there, more just to watch our own kids play now. So.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So always great to catch up with you, John. I wish we had more time. We'll get you on later in this basketball season. But take a little break from the girls' basketball tournament that's going on over there at Fresno Christian and talk about good stuff here on 1430 ESPN. We'll see you on Tuesday, my friend.
Yeah, thanks for coming out. That you picked a good one to come to. Kingsburg's good, and they're huge.
They are huge.
And that'll be a fun game to watch.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you to Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating, First String Sports, Jorge Rodriguez for producing the show, Cam Lamanuzzi, Tim Amundson, and John Penberthy. You're listening to Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.